Mr. Doug Fry, Reel 3. Now, we're talking about when you were into the number one aircrew receiving centre.
Yes, aircrew receiving centre.
At St. John's Wood. In December 1942.
Yes.
Now, you had your hair cut. What else happened to you while you were
well,
there?
Well, we were kitted out. Got our.
What did you get? What uniform?
We got our uniforms. Rather ill-fitting.
What was it exactly? You know,
that was a tunic, of course. Two tunics, trousers to go with it, obviously, shirts, tie, and then all the webbing, and backpacks, all that stuff. We got all that, and then we had our inoculations there.
Now, how bad were they? The vaccinations, inoculations. You know,
inoculations.
Did it have any effect? Because sometimes
one of them did. I don't know, I forget which one it was, but it gave us a very flu-like feeling. So to overcome that, it was suggested that we all do some work. So we had to clean out their billets, polish the floors and all that. This is supposed to help work it through your bloodstream or some nonsense. So this is what we did. There were about three of us in the billet.
Where were the billets?
I was in Stockley Hall, which was flats commandeered by the RAF, so-called luxury flats in St. John's Wood.
And how luxury were they for you?
They weren't really luxurious at all, but in those days, compared with others, they were. But I didn't think they were luxurious, but it was comfortable enough. And as I say, there were, I think, three of us in the room. And so there we had kitted out all our gear, kit bags, everything that we needed, tin hat, stuff like that, gas masks.
And you also had dental. And
then we went to Abbey Lodge, was where we went for our dentist. And I had a tooth, just one tooth filled there. That's the front one there, filling still there.
They don't normally bother with that with the army. Was this for some reason because you were in the air? I mean, was there any particular reason why
they
bothered?
I don't know. It's probably because at altitude you get you can be affected if there's something wrong with you. So I had that done, and then we had night vision tests sitting.
Now, what was that? The night vision test.
Well, there was a console in the middle of the table. The room was darkened. First of all, you sit outside for half an hour with goggles on, dark goggles, and then you go into this room, and there was a console in the middle with silhouettes of various airplanes, cars, stuff like that. With a blue light behind them. In other words, it's imitating night time. And then we had to identify these things. Having taken the goggles off, we're now in darkness, simulated darkness. So we had to identify. So that was okay. I got through all that.
Any other tests?
100% night vision, okay. We had our inoculations. And then that was, I went in on the Monday. I came home on the Tuesday evening, brought my civvies home, but now I was in, we got our gear, and then went back the same night. And then on Saturday, we didn't do anything else there, a bit of foot drill.
You went up to Lourdes for
Lourdes, yeah, that was for... medical FFIs and stuff like that, and drop your trousers, all that sort of nonsense, you know. And that's where they did that, and Lourdes, under the stands there. And so that was it, really. So then we had to wait for orders, and they came through on the Friday, and on the Saturday we got all our gear together, and off we marched down to King's Cross Station. And trained for Bridlington, where we ended up at Bridlington, number 14, ITW at Bridlington.
ITW being?
Initial Training Wing for gunners at Bridlington.
Now, what were your first, when you arrived, you know, what were your first impressions of of what happened when you got there. You're almost
well,
civilians.
We arrived, yeah, well, that's right. We arrived in the evening, about six, and in the spa at Bridlington, that was a complex of a cinema and a dance hall and so on. The RF had that, and the airman's cookhouse was there. And when we arrived, we sat down, we went straight into there for a meal, and the band was already playing for the evening's dance. So we were sitting around the edge having a meal, and all the boys were dancing there. So, and then we, having had our meal, we were marched round to our billets, which were requisitioned houses, two up, two down. So we got in, there were four of us to a room there, and of course the previous occupants had nicked all the bulbs out of the lights. So we were in darkness there. Anyway, the lady next door, the requisitions houses finished there, and the others were still occupied by the civilians. And this kind lady came in and brought us some candles. So that was our first night at Bridlington. So next day we started our lectures.
Now let's have a look at all the different topics you learnt there. I mean, the first one that I can see here was some mathematics.
Maths.
Now why maths?
Well, I don't know. To be honest,
it was ordinary
maths that we did at school. I think it was mostly geometry, if I remember rightly. It was strange, really. I couldn't know. But anyway,
didn't really know what you were doing it for then?
No, not really, because the problem was, you see, well, certainly as far as I was concerned, I couldn't wait to get flying. So anything that came between that, flying, I wasn't really interested in, to be honest, but it had to be done.
Now, aircraft so recognition.
That was my forte, really, because that had been a hobby of mine. I spent any pocket money I had on aircraft recognition books, because when the war started, all the newspapers, the Daily Mirror and all that, they put out their own little booklets on aircraft recognition. So I used to glean all these as I could. If there were any on the newsstands and so on, I used to buy them. So I was good at aircraft recognition. So I was always getting. I enjoyed that. I really enjoyed that because I was good at it. And the instructor was a flight lieutenant. He's also the adjutant there. And of course, when we had these tests every day, every time we had the aircraft recognition lesson, we had a test. And I used to get 100% all the time, you see. So during the, this was a 6 weeks course at ITW, and halfway through there was an interview, and the interviewer was the adjutant, who was also the aircraft recognition instructor. So when I came up in front of him, he said, "Oh yes, you're good at aircraft recognition, aren't you?" I said, "Yes, it's a hobby of mine." He said, "How many types do you know?" I said, "Well, I don't know really." Anyway, he said, "Would you like to be an instructor? Go to Manby." That was where the instructors were instructed on their course. And I said, "No, I came. I volunteered for aircrew to fly, and that's what I want to do." So he never pressed it. He just said, "Oh, all right," and that was it. But if I'd have, I'm going to save myself a lot of grief if I'd have taken up that offer. So anyway, that was good. I enjoyed that. And also one of the courses was RAF Law.
Tell me about that. What were you learning about there?
Not a lot. Terribly boring. And I think half of us used to sort of doze off.
What kind of thing was it? I mean,
it was about artesian wells and all this sort of nonsense. You know, most peculiar. A bit antiquated, I thought. And really, it went... I don't think anybody enjoyed it, and it went over our heads most of the time.
You also learnt about the Vickers and the...
There was the Vickers gas gun we learnt, for some reason, and also the Browning.
Now, tell us about the Vickers first.
Well, the Vickers gas gun was the old gun that was mounted on a scarf ring on the old open cockpit aeroplanes. And I could never understand why we needed to know about them, but we did. we had to learn about them and take
them. What did you think of them?
Well, I knew that we weren't ever going to use them. So once more, there wasn't all that much interest in it. We it was the Browning we wanted to know about.
Now tell me about the Browning. What was there to learn about the Browning?
Well, we had to learn how to take it to pieces in the dark and also put it together again. So we had the instructors they'd done a tour of finished their flying for a bit, and so they were gunners, and so we used to have competitions there and a little sweepstake who could strip it down and put it together again blindfolded in the shortest time and all that, put a tanner in the kitty, you know, that sixpence in this kitty. So that was good. And then we had pyrotechnics, which
now hang on, did you actually get to fire the Vickers of the Browning at that time?
Not at ITW, no.
So it was a theory, and it was just only the theory. Learning how to put them together,
yes,
and things, right?
That's right.
Now what do you mean by pyrotechnics? You mean
we had to learn about, first of all, the ammunition, what type of ammunition there was, the ball, incendiary, tracer and armour piercing, and they of course had different different coloured coating on them, and pyrotechnics, smoke floats, photo flashes, all that sort of stuff. We had to learn about those, how they were made, and so we had our notebook, ITW notes, used to make drawings and so on. And then, so that was that. So we had exams there.
How did you do in the exams?
Well, they were just questions asked on what we'd been doing over the 6 week period. Really.
No bother.
No bother. And then not long.
Hang on, were you doing any drill and that kind of thing there? I mean,
there wasn't a match. We used to march off to lectures, of course, and that's about it, really. We didn't do all that much foot drill as such.
And how were you getting on with the other recruits at Bridlington?
Excellent. All good chaps, splendid. Splendid.
Were they from the same sort of background as yourself, or was
all
it
different,
varied?
All different. All different background. That's why it was wonderful, because they're all different backgrounds from all different parts of the country. And I thought that was wonderful. You learn a lot about people. You had set notions that you've sort of grown up with, that have been sort of drilled into you from the media and other people and so on. And then when you meet all these different people from different backgrounds, you find it's totally different. They're not like that at all. Not
so there's
like
no bullying?
No, none at all.
Did you make any special pals there?
No.
We just got on with everybody?
Yeah, we were just there doing training for a certain specific thing.
And what did you think of the instructors? You know,
very good. They were very understanding because, as I say, they were operational. And they were now doing a stint as instructors, so they knew what it was all about, and therefore there was an empathy with our sprugs, you see.
They weren't shouting and bawling either?
Oh, no, none of that at all, whatsoever. None of that whatsoever. And then, so not long before that, they started another course at Bridlington, the other end of Bridlington, elementary gunnery course, that was called. And so we did similar things there. So we moved up to the other end of town.
Now, were you still with the number 14 training?
It's still under, but it was called an elementary gunnery course. Now, so in effect, we'd left the ITW as such, and we were now doing this different course. So we were doing similar things that we had been doing at ITW, apart from maths.
Did it have a name where you did this course? The unit, did it have a name?
We just knew it as the elementary gunnery course, that's all. I think it probably did come under 14 ITW, but an advanced part of the course, if you like, that they added on, I think.
Now tell me about this elementary gunnery course. I mean,
well, we did there, apart from the aircraft recognition and pyrotechnics, we got to fire the Browning on the range. They had a range there off the beach, and we did.
What was that like, firing the Browning on the range?
That was good. I enjoyed that.
Was it an easy gun? Was it an accurate gun?
Yes, very good gun, the Browning. Very good gun. We had. What did we do? We did a bit of. We did a bit of shotgun firing. For coordination with clay pigeons, and I was quite hopeless at that, as no. most of us were. But there was one chap on the course who had been a farmer, who worked on a farm, and of course he hit everything, didn't he? And we used to have a sweepstake for that as well, sixpence in the kitty, and he always won it. So he put his hat round and we put our money in his hat every time. But that was enjoyable. It was a break from the classroom. We had, which was really important, turret manipulation.
That's something that's new to me. Tell me about that. How did you practice that?
Right, they'd taken over an old garage there, so they were set up FN50s, FN50, FN20, and a couple of other types of turret, and they were mounted on a trolley, and of course they were hydraulic, so there was an engine running to create the hydraulics, and then we used to sit in these turrets and manipulate them, get to know the movement of them, and so on and so forth. And so any turret that we eventually got posted to, we could just get into it and sit into it and know all about it, and we used to have to make drawings of how it worked. And so on, engine-driven pumps and all this business. And the Bolton Paul turret, which was different to the Fraser Nash turrets because it was electrical. So all this we had to learn, we learned there.
And that, how realistic was it? I mean, I don't want you to step ahead, but I mean, just using a bit of hindsight, how realistic were these simulators? Well, they were real.
Well, they were actual turrets.
But so I mean, on the way they moved, was it?
Oh, exactly the same as though they were in an aircraft. Yeah, they were mounted thus so that you could move them, whichever movement you wanted to do, they did it.
And did you have targets to aim at while you were moving it?
No, there were no guns in them. They were just turrets.
It
was just turret manipulation. Yes. Turret manipulation.
Anything else you did at Bridlington with the elementary training course?
We did Morse.
Morse code?
Either on the key or the...
Now, why did you have to learn that?
Well, because in the inner turrets, if the intercom... There were lights, signal lights, and if the intercom went for a Burton, you could signal the skipper with Morse on with the lights. You see, that was the reason for that.
Now, how did you take to Morse? Not everyone can do Morse. I mean, some people have difficulty learning it.
Yeah, everybody does, in my view, in my experience, including me. But we learnt enough. We learnt enough. What else we did there? Well, that's about it, really. That was a 6 weeks course.
So that would take you through to about March, early March?
No, before that.
February.
Yeah. And so we did... So we had a couple more inoculations there, and then timed for a posting. So one of our instructors treated us all to a night out before we left. And what was going to happen was that we were now passed out there, AC1. We were AC1s now, since we'd passed all these courses. And the idea was to send us home on leave. However, we had this call. One of the NCOs came along, one of the instructors, and said there is a course going, because they were moving along all the time, and each course had to wait until they could take them wherever they were being posted to. Said there's a course open at Dalcross, number 2 Gunnery School at Dalcross. The next step, of course, from Bridlington was Air Gunnery School, where the flying actually started. So they said there's a course, and if anybody wants to volunteer to go there instead of going on leave, put your name down and you can go straight onto this course. So I wanted to get cracking, so I put my name, put my hand up, so I'll go. So I went off to Scotland with a few others of us who also wanted to get cracking and not go home on leave. And so we entrained for Scotland.
And it's still February?
This was...
43.
Yeah, I've got the exact date. I've got my records upstairs with all the exact dates on them. Yes, that would have been, let's see, 12 weeks at Bridlington from December, January. Yeah, that would have been about the beginning, about halfway through February, I would have thought, thereabouts. So off we went to Scotland. We eventually ended up at Dalcross, near, which is about 7 miles from Inverness. And there we were flying Defiance.
Let's look at the station first. What was the station like?
What, the actual RAF station?
Yeah, RAF Dalcross.
Very good. There were good billets.
In what way? What sort of the billets were you in?
They were huts with a room at each side of the door. And there were three of us to a room. And it was a good mess. The food was good. The ablutions were good. Copious hot water all the time, which is a good thing, because at ITW, the washing facilities were atrocious. None of us had a hot wash, let alone a hot bath. Although the billets we were in the first part of the course had bathrooms, there was no wherewithal to heat any water, so it was cold. And then our billet up at the elementary gunnery course was in ocean. My billet was in Ocean View, which was been a hotel overlooking the beach there, and that was about, I think, on the fourth floor. There was once more there were three of us in the room.
And so these huts were actually better.
Oh yes, much much better, as I say, because apart from the nice cosy billets, because it was fairly new, you see. There was the ablutions were very good, baths and lots of hot water, which was good, and the food was good. So that's when we we started our flying there. We still had aircraft recognition and other things that we'd already done, and then of course the flying started, which was really what we were waiting for.
Now tell me, what was your opinion? You were flying Defiant,
yes,
with a Bolton Paul turret,
yes,
one Browning and a camera gun.
That's
now,
right.
Tell us about, what did you think of the Defiant, and then separately, what did you think of that particular type of turret?
I didn't know. The Defiant, they were clapped out Defiants anyway, and we had mostly Polish pilots, which were very dicey. They were
fine. Stick to the aircraft.
Right.
I'll come on to the,
yes,
pilot.
Yeah, the aircraft...
What was it like? I mean, what was wrong or right with it?
Well, the possibility that they could be unreliable because they were a bit clapped out, really. That's the only thing. But I enjoyed flying in the thing, because it was a small aeroplane, but just, you know, like more like a fighter. It was designed as a fighter, a night fighter.
How many crew would it have?
Only the pilot and the gunner. That's all. Yeah. See, so it was a single engine with a Merlin engine. I didn't like the Bolton Paul turret.
Now, why not?
Although we'd done it, and we knew how it worked and made drawings and so on, because it had, instead of having pistol grips like the FN turrets, so that you manipulated with both hands, the Bolton Paul had a control column with a button, firing button on the top, and if I'd been posted to Halifax's, I would probably got used to it, but I didn't like it compared with the Fraser Nash method. But nevertheless, I did very well with that. How they used to do it, your ammunition had dye on it, so they knew who it was who had fired the shots into the drogue. You'd take off, and another aircraft would come up and towing a drogue, and you'd let fly out the drogue. And then we also had camera gun drill, where instead of firing the guns, you just pooped off with a camera gun. So that then we showed them, they got developed. Terrible, they were shocking. It filmed, you know, it was horrible, really. You could just about make out what was going on this stuff, these old cameras.
And what about, you were, I mean, you were shooting. I mean, there's two parts of shooting that I can think of here. One's sighting and the other's deflection shooting. I mean, they're the sort of, they're partly the same, but I mean...
Yes, deflection shooting, of course, we had learnt and how to do it and so
tell
on.
Tell us, what is the art of deflection shooting?
Well, instead of firing directly at the target, you make allowances for the target movement and possibly wind, so that you deflect your shots either in front of it or to one side of it. So in effect, the target flies into your cone of fire. That's what deflection is. You're not firing, in short, you're not firing directly at the target.
Did you find that easy to work out, or was it difficult?
Yeah, no, it's very easy. But of course, everything's easy when you're not under any actual attack, and when you're just doing exercises. But of course, you in the end, these things become natural to you, and you do them automatically. It's as simple as that, really.
And what about sighting itself? I mean, what sort of sights were you using? Yeah. Was there a specific sort of sight?
Ordinary reflector sight.
Now, what is a reflector sight?
Well, it's very very simple. There's with a light inside, and with a ring and a dot in the middle, and you can manipulate it with a rheostat so that you can have it bright or low, whatever, low intensity or whatever, depending on the ambient light. And that's it. It's a very simple sight, really. And the thing was, the sight, they reckon that if an enemy aircraft, the 109, for example, filled that sight, the wingspan filled that sight, he was about 600 yards away. So that was how you could judge how far away your target was by that. Simple as that, really. So all that came into our training, of course.
Now, what other training were you doing? You're flying in these Defiants. You know, what else were you doing?
We were doing aircraft recognition still, pyrotechnics still, and also we were still doing some turret manipulation as well. So those were the main things, really.
Now, you also, it says that there was some, you had mock attacks from other aircraft. Can you tell us about that?
Yes. There would be, apart from the drogue, where we just fired at the drogue, we would have mock attacks from either a martinet or another Defiant. And they would be doing, most of it was called curve of pursuit attacks. That's where an enemy aircraft would come in from the rear, stand off on one of the beams, perhaps at a slightly higher altitude than you, and then curve inwards. It's called curve of pursuit, and that's what they, and you had to judge when that aircraft was going to turn onto you before you gave instructions to your skipper to take what evasive action was necessary. So that's why that was important. And that's where the camera guns came in, so that it could give an indication of how good or bad we were.
Because obviously you couldn't fire real guns.
Oh, absolutely. No, we didn't fire anything.
How did you do with the camera gun? I mean, you said they were blurred, but could you see
yes.
what you'd hit? And what
oh, yeah. Yes. What you would have I did very well on the drogue and also the camera gun. So that was quite good. That was quite satisfying to know that you're doing this sort of, because this is really what it's all about. You can start forgetting all the classroom stuff, really, because it's now all in your noddle, in your head, all that stuff. And what you're really on about now is observation and firing at an enemy if you happen to come across one.